Thanks for having me, everybody. It's nice to be standing up here with my church family. And I also wanted to thank Tim and Ryan for respecting my request to have our opening on my birthday, because I felt like it was a good party for the age I'm turning. So you can all come to my birthday party on the 16th of September. That'd be good. So about a month ago, I was given a scripture that maybe I could share from, which was really nice, because for 1 month I've had kind of a chapter sitting in my heart and filtering over my life. So I'm going to share a little bit of that journey with you today, if you will have me. And I would like to invite Madeline and Caitlin to come up there, painting a symbol for us today. One of the reasons I'm really passionate about symbols when we speak is you possibly will go today thinking there was some nice things said, and that's good. But often when we recount them, it's hard to anchor ourselves to the things that mattered when we were listening. And I find that symbols, for me, the most highly distracted human I know, help me anchor into the things that I would like to keep in my mind. So there's some images today that these two girls are going to present. Plus what I'm going to speak about, they have listened to me talk about for the last 3 years, so it's good to work with them on that. I'm going to share from 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to read it from the NIV first today, and you are welcome to read along with me. So, Thessalonians is really interesting because it's Paul's letter to the church of Thessalonica, but what's interesting is that those people had been waiting in hope for to be saved, and they thought that opportunity had gone and they were left, right? And so Paul tries to write them a letter of hope to continue to live in joy. And it's really fun because he puts them on mission to joy, not on mission to do, and I like that a lot. And let's read that. I'm just going to read a little snippet of that chapter. So we'll start at verse 4 is a little intro where he says, God is coming back for you, sorry, but you're not actually going to need to be thinking about that. You're not going to need to be, what you need to do instead is. So let me go into that next bit. But brothers and sisters, you are not in the darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we may live together in with him. I love that, with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So I would like today to have the opportunity to not give you some points or to speak a message, but I'd really like to encourage you, if you would have me. So I love that quote from Oscar Wilde that says, to live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people just exist. And I love that Paul invites us into the idea that we get to be awake in life, or we actually are allowed to be asleep in life. And I would like to narrate what that looks like. In the Message, Eugene Peterson says it beautifully, the same thing beautifully, and I want to read that to you as well. Friends, you're not in the dark, so don't be taken off guard by any of this. You are sons of light, you are daughters of day. We live under wide open skies and we know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life like others do. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. People sleep at night and get drunk at night, but not us. We're creatures of the day, so let's act like that. Walk out in the daylight sober, dressed up in faith and love and the hope of salvation. God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master Jesus Christ. He died for us, and that death, it triggered life. So whether you're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, you are alive with him, either way. So speak encouraging words to one another, build up hope so that you'll all be in this together, no one left out, no one behind. I know you're already doing this, just keep doing it. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful poetry. As an art teacher, one of the things I've encountered over these last, next year will be 20 years of trying to teach people how to draw and paint. Is this, any of you who have done a job for a long time, you know that you get, after time, you get to really observe the way people respond, whatever job you're in. A trade, you get this filter where you start to watch human behaviour because you're past that first bit of learning how to do that job. And over those years, one of the things I've noticed is people will come into the classes and they'll say, look, I used to do art in high school, I would really like to do it again, can you teach me? And then we come to this place in relationship with one another where they would like me to teach them art by giving them the steps that they need to take in order to get the result so they can do art. And so I have to lie to them. So I'm a professional liar, because what I have to say, I'm not really, everyone's like, what? What I have to say to them is, all right, I will give you some tips and tricks so you feel like you know what to do. What I actually need to say to them is, I'm going to teach you how to see, but I need you to feel like I'm going to babysit you through steps first so I can teach you how to see. Once you know how to see, you'll realize those tips and tricks are not useful. Let me explain. If you ask me, how do I paint a tree? I could say, all right, well, what we're going to start with is tree's a triangle shape. We're going to start with a triangle, and now always have a dark side where the light doesn't get and a light side where the light gets so that we get a feeling of dimension. Got it? Yep, great. And then what we're going to do is that leaves are going to go in this direction, and you'll get the feeling of a tree. And someone will do it, and they'll say to me, I can draw a tree. Then they'll show their dad and their uncle, and they'll post it on Instagram, and it's great. And so then I give them the feeling of drawing a tree. The problem with that type of teaching is that all of their paintings will have triangle trees, right? And so you get the feeling, as you'll see in some artists even, their work kind of has this mimicked feel. It's the same looking picture over and over. Some people draw portraits, you look at all their portraits and they kind of all look like cousins, right? And that's because they've memorized the shape of an eye, and so that eye is on everybody in that same shape. Well, if I was really to teach you all how to do draw a tree today, I would say to you, you probably should go look at trees for a really long time. And then you should notice that in the morning, the colours of that tree is totally different to the afternoon. Like Monet used to stack his canvases and swap them every hour and just respond to the light of each hour. And that's how a lot of his paintings of the haystacks are painted. And so he was responding to what he was seeing in that moment. And so then I would tell you with leaves even, if you're laying underneath a tree, the shapes of those leaves are going to be totally different if you're standing back or you're in a plane or you're above or you're... It's very different. And if you really want the work that you produce to be about a tree and its beauty and its creator that made it, you're going to have to look at it a lot and fall in love with the beauty of that. But what we want is, in human nature, is we want to not feel the pain of making a tree every time again. But I did a tree good once and I just want it to be good every time. Can't I just do the same tree? No. You have to face the new fear each time of a blank canvas and really looking at something. You know, I've done a portrait once, and then the next time I do a portrait, it is equally scary every time. It is never dulled. So frustrating. I feel like I've progressed far enough that I should stand in front of a painting and not feel that pain of having to create. And the interesting thing about creating is that it has this enormous joy of making. I feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to do when I make something. You all know the feeling in different ways. Making something is what I was made to do, but I also feel equal parts tormented by fear and I'm terrible and this is hard. And so people come to the classes and say, take the pain away, please increase the joy. And what they don't know is that that is impossible. So I trick them and lie to them until they realize later on that's what we're getting at. And I say that because I believe that's what Paul was saying in his letter. And I'll explain that a little bit better, but let me keep going with another analogy. Last year I got asked to possibly go to East Africa and to bring imagination to children and help them reimagine the world, you know? And I had this moment where I'm like, I can set them free. I am going to give them imagination, unicorns, Paris. I'm going to paint things they've never seen. I'm going to show them the beauty of the world that they have been robbed of. Right? That sounds perfectly great. And then I called my best mate who lives in Vancouver, and she is a psychiatrist, and she said to me, Jess, you do understand that in our greatest traumas and our greatest pain, our nature, our psychology is to be careful to shut down as many senses as possible to experience the least amount of information in order to survive, right? Yep. And she said, so these children who have been abused and abandoned and are in a lot of pain, she said, they are very shut down in protection. And one day when we can get to the place that we slowly bring them into a safe place, they will reimagine and they will be in agony. But they will reimagine and come alive and see color and remember things. But for you to bring that to them in the middle of their trauma would be excruciating. I did not feel so excited about unicorns anymore. I felt like, okay, maybe I'm not going to go, so I didn't extend that idea. And it's a natural response or mechanism to survive to shut down, right? To do less, to see less, to feel less. Some of you can think of times in your life that you can't remember very well. Yes, childhood moments, things that you have were dull. And that's our nature, is to protect ourselves. It is not a bad thing. But I believe that part of what God gave us as a gift, not a requirement, not a must-do, not a command, was this gift of you are allowed to choose with this one life, awake or asleep, and I will love you no less, be no less proud of you, be no less with you, be no less your God. I just want you to choose and enjoy your choices. And I find that fascinating because I have always thought that me choosing to live out my life big and beautiful was me obeying God. Interesting. And it says in verse 9 in the message, it says, God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but salvation by our Master Jesus Christ. He died for us a death that triggered life, whether we are awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we are alive with him. Now, all of us have got parts of our lives that we are asleep in, parts of our lives that we have systematically shut down in order to not experience the highs and the lows of being fully awake. Paul gives us three words to kind of anchor ourselves into being awake on, which is love, faith, and hope. And he says, you know, these are things to put on. If you want to know how to be awake, put on those three things, you know. And we've had that picture, a lot of us that have been in church a long time, of putting on those garments. But I think the thing that I've really come to in thinking about this is that all of those garments come with equal parts pain and pleasure. But I have always attributed being awake to feeling good or to being in a good place. And I'll give you an example. If you were to look at your life and being awake, and you looked at the word love. We have four children, and I imagined that I would have these four children and feel joy forever. Just joy, just buckets of joy. And I do, and buckets of pain and disappointment and bad parenting that I can't take back. And good parenting that wasn't right for that child. And I have learned in love that it's an everyday thing, love, and it's very risky and it's very painful, and the more painful, probably the more joy as well. And they work together, they're not separated, and sometimes they're happening at the exact same time. But I always thought, even in love, that love was good when it was good, and when it was bad, it was wrong, and it's not right. And to be fully awake, we have to risk love. And to be fully awake, you know, I feel the messiest I've ever felt in my life. I've always been very organized and together. And the more I open myself up to God and being awake and being loving, I find the flood of what that really means to be quite messy. And I just thought it would be quite neat. And I was heading towards neatness and order. Jeff Bentley gave me a great example of love one day, faith one day, and I'll share that next. And that's the next word is faith. Faith, to believe that I am loved no matter what and that he is good no matter what, sounds so neat. So not. When you are faced with real faith, when you are faced with things that are not the plan, and you have to say that sentence, God is good, does it feel good? No. And then you have to wrestle with, do I really think God is good? And Jeff Bentley said to me, he's like, I thought my faith was going to be like this. Instead, it's like, and he did the sound effects as well. And just knots, and then he'd stay on one spot, knot, 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 knot. And I love it because faith and walking alongside God and saying, you are good and you are with me and I cannot earn you in this moment right now. You are in love with me and I'm in love with you this moment. There is no stepping better than this. I've always been journeying towards the ultimate instead of realizing I'm in it. And he loves me right now and you the same, and that you have not earned it more than me or me more than you. Instead, I'm just in faith. I've also found that to be incredibly painful, because to be awake in that, it's so much more comfortable to read a book and to go with what the book says, or to plan my faith out around a system, or to follow a plan. I want to follow a plan so bad. But instead, being awake with God in today means I have to wake up and talk to him and ask him what this life means and what we should do together and how I should think about him and how I should think about others. I would rather be asleep to the plan of this is how I will think about you. Tick. This is how I will do faith. Tick. And I'm learning it is unexpected and moving faith to be fully awake. Hope. Now look, I had another plan for this. That plan went AWOL because I've decided to just be vulnerable and embarrassed. Are you ready? So I'll read you a little note I wrote to myself, because this week I had a fairly disappointing week. Since I was a little girl, I was going to be in the Archibald Prize, because as really like deep, dark country girl, that's about the only national prize that we know about, because it's publicized, right? There's plenty. Beautiful ones. But that's the one. Dad, when I grow up, I'm going to be in the Archibald. That's what I said, right? So recently I got to paint a beautiful man, Rod Quantock. Some of you will know him, and he just received an Order of Australia for his work in the arts and comedy. He's hilarious, cynical and hilarious. I've been watching him for a fair while, just trying to learn, as I painted him, what that would be like, and learn about him before I met him. And so I got to meet him, and he is 72. He is awake as a person. He's acting like he's just getting started, and it was beautiful to listen to. For 4 hours, he talked to me about how for the last 15 years he's stopped comedy. He's got his PhD in, I'm saying the words wrong, but in environmental science, and now he's one of the top researchers in Australia for around carbon. And so for 4 hours, he talked to me about his despair about how we have treated the planet and what we think is right and wrong and how no one's listening, and he cried, and he was so alive, and he has so much left to do. And I got to paint that portrait, which was great. And so I'll show you a picture of that portrait that I painted for the Archibald, and that's me there to show you the scale. It was really fun, and that's him behind a window. He was in a window in Melbourne, and it was raining outside, and it was grey, and I wanted to show the idea that he was under that veil of despair, essentially. It was so fun. I had the best time painting it. It's the best painting I've done so far. And it was such a joy to do. I did not make it into the Archibald this year, and I found out on Monday. Now, my nature as an alive person, sorry, as an asleep person, my nature is the opposite to what you think I'm going to do. So as a person who wants to be out of pain, what I generally would do is firstly not tell you. I'll be a bit sneaky. Secondly, I would get real busy real quick with something else, very quickly, and then I would tell you about that. I'm just introducing you to my ego. It's fabulously big. And I want to read to you what I wrote this week, because I am learning. I am a baby and I am learning. But I am going to live a life full of disappointment, because disappointment is part of hope, and hope and disappointment are friends, and they happen at the same time. And there's so much of it to come. And disappointment means I live in hope, and hope lets all the light in, and it lets me feel. And feeling is really annoying, right? Disappointment is not a waste of energy. It's being alive, and being asleep is letting disappointment decide my next move, my behavior. It minimizes my ideas because of it. But the beauty of Jesus is that I'm also allowed to sleep, and that it wasn't wrong last year to ignore my disappointment and to hide it, but it was better. Do you hear the difference between wrong and right? But it was better for me to be disappointed. So do you know what I did this week? I got disappointed, right? If it was not fun, but I needed to just be disappointed. I had high hope and a plan, and it didn't happen. And I can say all the sentences, but then I'm going to, and I just tried to not, just tried to be really annoyed. And that's not bad. But I thought it was. So I want to finish with this idea. I'm so fast. Good job. We gather here. We agree to gather here. Tick. Efficient. We gather here in an agreement. I want to be in the same room as you once a week in a gathering. Now, we all have thoughts about the church. We all have thoughts about worship. We all have thoughts about each other, and we all have thoughts about how everything should run. I know. But we agree to be together. We agree to unite around one thing in common, and that is God. And we love him, and he is our Father, right? So that is a good thing to gather around. We can also gather around netball, and we can gather around, there's lots of good things to gather around, but gathering around God is really beautiful. And gathering around God in disagreement, beautiful. So we wanted to do the worship at the end today to think about being daughters of the day and sons of the light. Like, our birthright is to see and experience the world through God's eyes, to be fully awake. And I love that as a picture of experiencing God. And I know I'm not making it sound very pretty. But when we gather, there's a dream behind the music that we play. And I'm all for, like, no routine, which is not going to work for us, so we'll keep routine. But I'm all for, like, let's just do crazy things all the time. But the dream behind the music is that we choose to take 15 minutes together where we're not really talking and we're not distracted and we're not really even in relationship, where we just kind of take 15 minutes, 20 minutes to say, I will put all my attention on God. No different than all my attention during the week, but as a gathering, I just want to put my attention on you, God. Now, that's really hard for me because I am distracted during worship particularly. I really struggle to stay with you all. Some of you look like you're with God the whole way through. For me, it's a trick. So there's a few things that I do and I have learned to do to just bring my focus into God, to be awake. And I have to make my own personal strategies. So do you. There is not a formula for focusing on God. There is your story with God and there is my story with God, and you need to write that. And, you know, when you see me down the street, you will, and I'm your friend, I will be like, hello, and my arms will come out to you because I move and speak with these arms. But if you see my husband down the street, who is equally loving, you may get a wink or a point. That's about it. And that is true to who he is, because his body does not move as his mind does, right? And his expression of worship is entirely different to mine. He'll sit in worship with his head down and let these guys sing to him, and he will disappear. And that is as authentic as me with my arms in the air saying, God, to be not distracted, I will shut my eyes and move this body to connect with you and to block out how much I don't want to surrender, right? Both are beautiful. Both are good. Whatever it takes for us to put that focus on him, sing, don't sing, sit, stand, kneel, write. I write a lot of the time. I sit and I just write, especially if I find that I am on another planet or thinking about crumpets with honey later or whatever. I write. I sometimes practice silence because I'm not good at silence. So I practice saying just the name of God inside my head for 3 minutes. It's a long time. Yeah, I know you all know this, but I just wanted to remind you, encourage you. Sometimes I need to go sit at the back. Sometimes I need to sit at the front. Sometimes I need to be on my knees. But that's because that's what I need to do with my connection to God that is private. Now, I know we're in a public setting. So, like, if I want to cartwheel and do some other things, I am going to be respectful of you. I will choose what my expression of worship will be. That's okay too. But my journey to focus on God and to be fully awake in him has changed somewhat. You know, in those 10 years of being a pastor, I gave people the rules really good. And I was a little girl, even though it wasn't that long ago. But I really did think there was just a way to do things, and there just isn't. And the Bible is full of and, not lots of or. Lots of and. And our beautiful God is here right now, and His love and focus towards you individually is so intense and so beautiful that he is okay with you being asleep as well. And he is okay with however you want to focus on him. He just invites you into this one life, how you want to do it. And circumstances will rarely ever be ideal. And I've learned that in painting and in life, they're not going to be ideal. This setting's not going to be ideal. The way it's done is not going to be ideal, but you and him are ideal. So I want to pray to finish, and then we are just going to worship our way out of this room. These girls have given you some symbols and ideas, even the picture of sons and daughters that you can keep in there. But let's just talk to God for a minute. Or not talk. Thank you, God, that we get to be invited into the gift of knowing you and living this life, knowing you, God. And as hard as all the senses are heightened in knowing you and experiencing this painful and beautiful world, God, we, some of us today, dive in again in a new way. And some of us who are holding so much pain and so much rhythm and sleepiness from pain, God, give them rest right now, Jesus, as they sit with you. Give them rest, God. We love you.